Go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in Christ's name, Father, asking for your grace, Lord. I ask for your grace upon me, Lord, to you. I ask that you would just get me out of the way, Father, and that your word would go forth, Lord, and that you would give us ears to hear and to understand it, Father. Give us grace to receive it and to practice it. Thank you for these people, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you that I've been given this opportunity to serve, Father. We love you and ask for your help today, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to be looking at the main passage I wanted to look at is in Philippians 2, 1 through 4. You'll turn there. So starting in verse 1, Philippians 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. I'll be flipping around, so bear with me, but this is kind of the main passage I wanted to look at. And then just, have you ever really stopped to think about what Paul's saying here and comprehend that exhortation and wondered what that really looks like practically? If you haven't done that recently, I would recommend that you do, because it's a great blessing to meditate on that and just to think, you know, how do we exercise this? How do we, you know, consider each other's interests as more important than our own and alongside of our own? Literally, you know, to move around this space after church and say, you know, you're more important than me. What? How can I help you? How can I show you the love of Christ today? Counting each other as more significant. I mean, that's quite a thought. And just imagine the spiritual benefit that would follow if that was part of our daily routine and part of our lives, something that consumed our energy and resources, and we guided ourselves and sacrificed ourselves in that direction to think that way, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, throughout the week. And so I wanted to explore those things and kind of, as I studied these things, I kind of thought of those. I don't know if you've ever seen those Facebook articles, or there might be some articles out there just on the web where it'll say something like, I always joke about this, you know, sometimes they're helpful, like you've been waxing your car wrong all your life, here's how you do it, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that trick. But sometimes it's like, you've been peeling a banana wrong all your life. I'm like, you know, please, I do it right, okay? But this was kind of, thought-provoking and kind of thought of that because it's like, you know, and to some extent, I feel like, you know, after studying this topic that I want to present to you guys, I've been serving the brethren wrong all my life, you know, learning these things. So I want to share with you some things I've been studying. I've been greatly blessed to study this. I find the second time I've gotten up here and preached from the word to you guys, and both times I find that at the very end, when I have no time left to study or pray, what I need most is what I've just studied. And so it's been a great blessing. But let's look at some of this. I have four main points. And if you want a title, it'll be called The Blessed Duty of Serving the Brethren. And I want to look at what it will take to live out this exhortation. And those four points are: getting around brethren is necessary. sacrifice of your of your resources, time, energy is necessary. Loving your brother is necessary. And humility is necessary. And all these things are necessary in the pursuit of serving the brethren. So I wanted to look at the first one. Getting around brethren is necessary in your pursuit of serving one another. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." In this passage, we see again the necessity of spending time and energy in consideration of how to provoke one another to love and good works. And you think about that. Consider how to provoke, to stimulate. That consideration, that's proactive, sitting around thinking, man, I saw so-and-so having a hard time at church. What kind of plan can I make? What kind of strategy? What kind of grace can I show? What kind of love? Consider how to stimulate each other. So, it's no surprise then that the basic prerequisite of this pursuit, the pursuit of encouraging, edifying your brother, requires that we meet together in some form or fashion at a regular cadence. Not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging. So one is a function of the other. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. It matters a great deal to the people sitting next to you whether or not you're in that seat on any given Sunday or Wednesday. Practically speaking, it's extremely difficult to have any significant understanding of your brother's needs or interests and look out for them if you're not around them, whether it be on Sunday, Wednesday, or any other day. The more you're around your brother, the more you will engage him, the greater awareness of his needs you'll understand. You know, that's kind of basic, but it's oftentimes hard to practice, as we'll see. But in a real sense, your brother's encouragement is contingent on your decision on whether or not to neglect meeting together. In other words, being near your brother and serving your brother are highly correlated. Certainly, we must draw a distinction between necessity and neglect. There will always be times when it is necessary to miss an opportunity to meet together, whether it be for work or illness. Some examples would be your work just requires that you can't always meet on Sunday or Wednesday. Sickness, needs, travel. But what would it look like if we, communicated those needs to each other where we could, where possible? Hey, I don't know if you know this, but I'm working and I'm having a hard time missing Sunday. You pray for me, and missing encouragement. Communicating those needs is a proactive action and requires some sense of accountability and a responsibility to someone else. Because remember, if I'm not here, you're at a disadvantage. If you're not here, I'm at a disadvantage. That's how the body works. In 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26, it says, "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." So we're a body, we're many parts of the body of Christ, and it matters a great deal when one. Obviously, we see today we have a big need and a big burden, and everyone feels that burden. The whole, at the beginning of service, the whole room felt different because we all are seeing our pastor and family suffering, and we mourn with them. It can be easy, in a sense, to be in tune with your brother's burdens and feel that sense of unity described in this verse in Corinthians. When those burdens are prominent, whenever it's a death or a Madeline or something that just you can't help but seeing it. But it takes a little more work to practice not neglecting meeting together and being in tune with small trials, mundane trials, daily things that are hard to see, and feeling a sense of responsibility for those things. Struggles on a Tuesday, not just a Wednesday or a Sunday. But that takes communication, that takes fellowship, that takes proactive sacrifice of one's time to meet together in a sense. A personal example, you know, I think of my brother over there, Devin. He's often having to go and, in the name of providing for his family, having to travel and be away. And a battle there is staying encouraged. And so many times I've thought, I need to reach out to Devin. I need to see if he's encouraged and see if he's been, you know, needs anything from me, if there's anything I can do. But how fruitless is that thought if it doesn't graduate from, I'm considering how to stimulate you, but it never bears any action, you know. And I love you, brother, and that's kind of a little confession, but that, what's the point of the thought if I can never graduate it to an action? I should be doing that. I should be considering it, getting out of my comfort zone, sacrificing time, energy, whatever else, to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in that and reach out. That's just one example. Because we're called in Galatians 6:2 to bear one another's burdens. And in doing that, it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Think about that. We all have burdens. We're one body. And we're called to bear one another's burdens. So, you know, it says in our main passage, look out not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. You have to be looking out for your own. You have your own responsibilities. You have your own burden. But your burden and your burden is my burden. Now, if I set out to talk to each of you every single day and carry all your burdens all at once, I'll be crushed. That's don't take it to the nth degree. I mean, if you have that passion, that's good. But practically speaking, I'll be crushed if I do that. But don't let the burden of carrying everyone's burden crush you from carrying anyone's burden. We ought to be practicing this. We're called to bear one another's burdens. Hey, let me help you carry that burden. Hospitality, I've seen in this study, is one such practical way to encourage your brother. And it takes a great deal of sacrifice and resources to do that. 1 Peter 4:8-9 and Romans 12:13 talk about hospitality. Just a couple verses that I saw in there. Contribute to the needs of the saints in Romans. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's so easy to make excuses. I know, speaking personally, excuses to refrain from serving the body through hospitality. I mean, think about hospitality. Someone's coming into your home. You invite someone into your home. You have to have something to offer, fellowship, your presence. They're coming into your home. They're taking up space. They're getting in the way of previous plans. You're making way. Your resources are changing. Your priorities are changing. Come in and then fellowship, maybe feed them. Practically speaking, it takes a lot of resources. So it's a big one. Excuses are so easy to make. Like, you know, I'm in the middle of painting my guest bathroom. So that's the guest bathroom. I don't want them to have to go through my bedroom. That'll have to be in order. My bed will have to be made. But it is so much better for you to invite someone into your home, to have them in your home, to reach out, encourage them, be a part of their lives, than for them to compliment you on a nicely painted bathroom. I mean, what good is that? I think, you know, another personal example, I think of when, I can come up with many examples in this body, but whenever Elizabeth was pregnant with Madeline and we had found out about her condition, Jan just, I'll never forget it, she just picked up a bunch of jambalaya and gumbo and just, hey, I'm coming. She came and we just sat there eating gumbo, eating jambalaya, and hanging on every word of her encouragement. We weren't saying much. We're saying, this is really good. And what you're saying is really good. Spiritual nourishment, physical nourishment. And she came, she was a one-hit wonder. She came, encouraged us, fed us, and left. It takes the humility on the recipient's part as well to say, yeah, come into my home. It's a mess. Sorry. But I need your encouragement more than I'm concerned about you judging me about my mess. I see you have a mission here. You're coming to encourage me. So just put your blinders on. You know, God forbid that we actually see each other's lives. I mean, that's what this is about. So hospitality is important. In order to successfully not only consider one another's interests, but also make that, you know, turn that into action and actually serve your brother, serve your sister, it's necessary for love to be present, to love your brother and sister. And that's a basic one, but it's critical. You know, it combats the admonition there to do nothing from rivalry or conceit. You can see that in the beginning of this passage. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any participation in the Spirit, affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love. In John 15:12, Christ says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then right after that, it's followed with, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So what does that mean? How important is love? We see Paul prefacing this section with, if there's any love, any affection, if you have that in common, do this thing. It has to start there, or you will be doing things for vainglory, you will be doing things for selfish ambition. But Christ's words are so, I mean, what a tall order. Right after that, lay down your life for your friends. Now, you know, I think that commandment goes all the way to actually physically laying down your life for your friend, but chances are you're probably not going to be doing that in your lifetime. It's more likely that you'll be laying down your life, your daily life, your resources, your time, your energy. Oh, but I wanted to do that tonight. Whoops, can't. Todd needs help. I talk to Todd. I meet with Todd. I get together with him. And I found out through doing this that he has a burden. That burden resonates with me. I'm considering him. I'm considering how to stimulate him to good deeds. I think the Lord's given me a way to do that. And then I graduate that consideration to action. So that takes tons of time. That takes saying no, sorry, you know, sorry, wife, not going to be here tonight. It's hard. This stuff is work, but it's necessary. It's commanded. It's an exhortation. So in that sense of, you know, it's a good reminder, lay down your life for your brother, for your sister. We're the same body. So it makes no sense for me to say, well, you know, it's kind of like a marriage, you're one. It makes no sense to say, well, my arm's not working, but that's my arm's problem. It'll figure it out. My eye's not working, but I hope that gets taken care of. I hope my other eye takes care of that. You know, no, your hand is mending the broken. This body works together. It's one body. So it takes love. This has to be motivated by love for your fellow brother, your fellow sister. And it also takes humility. We see in this section, if we read on in Philippians 2, verse 5 through 10, really, or 9, I'll read that. So he comes off of this and says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So, again, we see, here's this command, do this thing. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, which we just, that's expounded upon in what we just read. In humility, do this thing. Count others more significant than yourselves. So it takes humility, and it takes us following the example of the humility of Christ. And think about that example. Did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. I'm equal with God, but I'm not going to exploit that. I'm going to serve. My example, even though I am the God-man Christ, I'm going to serve. Follow that example. So you really have no excuse not to serve when you put that example up in front of the picture. If I find where I was here. So yeah, Christ is our example. In Romans 12, 9 through 11, it says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. So a lack of humility in your efforts to serve others, to serve the brethren, will make way for that service to be chalked up to selfish ambition and vainglory. There's a way to go about this completely wrong, and that's one way you can do it. The second way is, and the two kind of go hand in hand, to not have love. It's not coming from love, it's coming from, you know, I want to have someone over to so they can compliment my shiplap or my new cabinetry that's the barn door style. Me and Job sit through these home improvement shows at lunch every day, so we know all the trends. But you know, what is this really about? It's got to flow from love, and it's got to flow from humility. The ending of that Romans 9:12-11 says, "Do not be slothful in zeal." Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. So that's what it's really about. When you set out to serve someone and assess and consider what they need, make sure it's from in love, in humility, and that you're doing it really to serve the Lord. You say, Lord, I want to serve you, and I think I can serve you by reaching out to Devin today. I want to do that. And just do it before my flesh gives in and I don't do it. I mean, you're not going to be worried about the speck in your brother's eye or how good you will look in seeking to serve God if you have that mindset. You're going to just be worried about serving God. One second here, sorry. Let me make sure I didn't skip a section. Sorry, I think I might have skipped one of my sections here. Bear with me. Yeah, we talked a little bit about the time and resources that it takes. We covered that. Okay, just making sure. I wanted to give some takeaways in closing. And I think from this study, the takeaway and benefit to me were kind of threefold, and that's kind of summary to summarize this. If you're a Christian, you should be in continuous consideration of how you can serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. It should be a continuous thing. And I did want to find a verse that spoke to that that I think I overlooked in Hebrews. Here it is. Hebrews 3:12-13. So getting back to the idea, this is not just a Sunday thing, it's not just a Wednesday thing. Hebrews 3:12 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So how often should we be exhorting one another? It's every day. What is at stake if we don't invest this time and energy into one another? I mean, it says it here, the potential to fall away from the living God, being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So in a very real way, following this path, this is this verse here, it is, you know, your brother's continuance in following Christ is at stake. If we don't, you know, obey this command to exhort one another daily, every day, while it's called today, as you see the day drawing near. So simply showing up on Wednesdays and Sundays might not be enough to keep me from falling away from the living God. It might take more than that. It might take you knowing something about me and me knowing something about you and encouraging one another and being with one another constantly. Through the mundane, as we talked about. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Why do you need patience? Because it takes work. It takes knowing someone's grueling, when you invest in somebody, someone's grueling pain and detail. If I go talk to Brother Mark and say, "Tell me everything. Tell me everything that hurts and why it hurts about this trial." I love him. I'm a Christian. By the time I leave, if we have all the time in the world to talk, I'm gonna be encouraged. But it's gonna have taken a lot out of me. It's gonna take a lot of resources. So it takes time and work to consider those things. And we kind of talked about this. I think we covered this. It has to graduate from consideration to action. Otherwise, it's just good vibes, as the world calls it. It's just, I'm thinking about you. I want you to know I'm thinking about you. Not I'm praying about you, I'm thinking about you. And we understand what people mean when they say those things, but, you know, if my neighbor's moving across the street and I go help him move, he's got the heavy end of a couch, and I'm walking with him and I say, "I'm thinking about you, man. Keep going. I'm thinking, what good is it? Get out of the way or grab a side." You know, it has to graduate to, give me that. Let me help you. There's a serving. You've considered it. You know you need to grab the end. Serve. There it is. So it should be, you know, every day you should be considering these things. It should be constant. When you leave church, you should be considering it Monday, Tuesday, throughout the week. Point number two is a pure desire to serve others that flows from loving God will be marked by humility, love, and sacrificial zeal. We talked about the importance of love and humility in combating selfish ambition in your service. Your brother's encouragement is dependent on your presence. That's point number three. We must willfully elect to get around each other through discipline and devotion to one another. And this idea that it takes work, it takes discipline. I have to plan ahead to carry someone else's burden. You plan a journey, you're carrying a burden, and you don't plan to pick up, you're maxed out, you got this big old burden, and, you know, halfway there you got to pick up another burden. It's your brother's burden. You didn't plan for that. That's going to be a rude awakening, and that second half's going to be miserable. We actually have to plan to carry one another's burdens. This takes, you know, thinking ahead, proactive thinking here. And really, I want to end with just encouraging you guys to serve regardless of the sphere in which you can serve. And like what it says in 1 Peter 4:8-11, if you turn there, it says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality without grumbling, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So you see the end motivation. In order that everything, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. But you see Peter categorizing service into speaking just broadly and serving really broad. And there's other places where it goes into specific gifts. But here I like how Peter lays it out, speaking and then huge category of serving, which could be from here to there. It could be, you know, you think in terms of in church, I'm the guy who moves chairs. I'm the best chair mover in the world, and I do it for God's glory. I love God, just want to move chairs. That's important. I'm the guy who nobody knows about who reaches out to everyone who has a prayer request on Sunday. Like, wow, that's really, that's service. Nobody even knows about that. That's something you do for God. And to lift somebody up for God's glory. So that has to be the motivation, to serve God. If you start there and you start, how can I glorify God? I know I need to serve. I have these commands to consider other people's interests along with my own, as if it's my life. I mean, that's really the takeaway here for me, is that your problem, your burdens as a Christian on your journey are my problems. It's like when you get married, like, You got any debt? Well, now it's my debt. You got any savings? It's my savings. As a body, your burdens are my interests. They're my responsibility. So I was just really encouraged to read over these things. And there's about this thing, you know, we could have gone on forever with this. There's so much more. So much more I'd love to share with you. But I think we're about at a time end. You know, on short notice, I would have loved to add more color to this, but I encourage you to study these things and see how it applies to you. And let's really seek God on how we can execute on these things by his grace for his glory. That's the motivation. So I'll end with that, and we can end in a word of prayer.